Hello, and welcome to episode 15 of Speak Beastie for July 3rd, 2016.
I'm Ariel.
I'm Aaron.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Sophie.
Shannon, welcome back.
Oh, thanks. I noticed that in my absence, my name has moved down the list.
Yeah, well, I don't know what happened, because I was about to be like, oh, it's alphabetical, but then no, Aaron would have been before me in that case. So, I don't know, I guess, yeah, you gotta earn your spot back up.
I know.
Yeah, especially when Ariel writes the doc, so...
Hey, I don't write the docs. I don't write the docs. I really don't. I just color code them, okay?
I color coded this one, though.
I know. I was really confused because it was the wrong red. And I was like, I don't get purple. At least let me get the right red.
Yeah, I couldn't remember what red. It's been so long.
It really has.
Like a month and a half.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, I was on a couple live shows that we did. Hasn't watched those, search up Speak Beastie on YouTube.
Yeah, they're pretty good. Even the one I'm not on. I'll admit that it's good. Yeah, I watched it, of course.
Okay. I believe you.
Thanks. Because it's the truth.
And now a message from our sponsor.
Stop the presses! Speak Beastie is on Patreon.com. With options ranging from $1 to $5 per month, you can become a sponsor of Speak Beastie and help us to bring you more from Newt's fantastic wizarding world. But wait, there's more! Rewards include access to bloopers and extended conversations. You can also help us decide on a discussion topic for future episodes. We want to thank all of our sponsors for helping us reach our first goal. Our next goal is to get merchandise. Check out Patreon.com/speakbeastie to learn more and become a sponsor today.
Now for the Phoenix Register. I guess because I complained last time about the lack of news, they were like, let's dump all the news for this episode because we got a lot. Like, I'm so much that we're not going to be able to cover all of it today. So the first bit of news we got was actually a new poster that showed Newt in New York City. If you go on MuggleNet with the Fantastic Beast film tag, you will see this awesome poster. On it, you got Newt looking out where that building had been blasted. He got his wand and a suitcase and his Hufflepuff scarf and says, J.K. Rowling invites you to a new era of the Wizarding World. And I think it's a really beautiful poster. I love it. And I can't wait till... I haven't been to the movies in forever, so I can't wait to go to the movies and see this somewhere and be like, hey, it's Fantastic Beasts and where to find them. it's such a long title, you know.
I feel like the poster doesn't the explosion look less explosion-y and more like a big claw thing now? It looks like it's been kind of swiped a little bit.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
With the sun shining through.
But what swiped it?
Swiper. Swiper, no swipe. Dang it.
It's amazing that Dora the Explorer has had such an impact on my life, and I've, like, never seen an episode.
I can't believe this is a live-action Dora the Explorer movie. How did we not see it before?
It is. He's just got, like, a suitcase instead of a backpack.
Oh, man.
And he's got a Niffler instead of boots. Boots is the name of the monkey, right?
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So obviously in that case is a monkey named Boots.
I feel like Newt's going to do a lot of looking directly at the camera and asking us questions in Spanish.
That would be amazing.
in his little British accent.
He just turns to the camera and is like, all right, kids.
Sophie, say British things as if you were Newt. Oh, no. I mean, Spanish words. I messed it up completely.
I really can't speak Spanish. That's like,
say hola. Oh gosh, I'm gonna cry. We're like 5 minutes in and I'm gonna cry. All about a poster too. Okay. Yeah, so any other remarks about the poster?
It's a cool poster.
Yeah. I like
it. His wand's glowing though, that's kind of dangerous just hanging at his side there. He should check that out.
He seems to have more pressing matters at hand.
That seems like a really bad, like, judging by this picture, it looks like he's kind of waiting for the train. It's like, that's not, it's not a train stop.
He's about to jump off the apron.
Yeah, he's going to leap on it, like, Divergent. Yeah. Just like,
oh gosh.
He's very Batman.
Yeah. With his Hufflepuff scarf.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's definitely Wayne Tower in the back.
Now that's the hero we need.
let's move on.
No, I want to talk about Dora the Explorer.
We got news that Bloomsbury and Scholastic will be releasing a newly updated version of the Fantastic Beasts school textbook. It will be released on March 14th, 2017.
Hi, day.
Yay. The Bloomsbury edition will contain a new jacket design by Johnny Duddle, who illustrated the most recent UK versions of the Potter books. A new foreword by J.K. Rowling will also be included, as well as black and white illustrations throughout the text. And I apologize if I mispronounce this. Throughout the text by Tomislav Tomic, a Croatian children's book illustrator. His previous work includes Trick of the Tail, a collection of trickster stories, and The Princess and the Goblin. He has created illustrations for a range of publishers, including Macmillan and Scholastic. So, I think I want to see a cover of this thing before I decide if I'm going to dish out money on it or not.
Best have Sasquatch.
It needs the classic, like, Sasquatch stance.
Yeah.
Not just like, you know, he can't just be like eating a carrot or something. I don't know what they eat. I don't know.
You know, I just want to throw out there that I deeply regret that our logo is not a Sasquatch in a martini glass.
You know, we didn't know this thing was going to happen.
I know.
With me and Sasquatch, it just kind of did. Yeah, so,
but yeah,
new book.
I'm excited about new editions.
Yes.
It's not much to say about them right now, you know?
No, they haven't really said much about it yet.
But yeah.
When they come out, we'll have a lot to say.
I want
there to be more things in it. That's what I want.
Yeah.
There's more things.
I'm excited
don't
about
want
the
things to change.
True. I'm excited about the illustrations, though. Mm-hmm. I like being able to place a name with a face, so to speak.
I wonder if they're keeping all the Harry and Ron bits or if they get rid of that. I don't know.
That is a very good question, because I feel like that's part of the book, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I want to make my own snarky remarks in the margins, so.
No one's
you're on a podcast for that, Aaron. You literally, your whole segment is making snarky remarks about Beast. Like, what more do you want?
I want it in writing.
Okay.
What's next?
What's next? What would have been next? Would have been the VidCon event, but nothing much happened there, so we're just gonna burn from a Hufflepuff.
Yeah, go watch
Ravenclaw.
Our YouTube channel for more about our feelings.
About all of that going on. So, we did get a new clip of Newt as introduced by J.K. Rowling, which we will discuss way more during the main discussion. Because that is a whole thing in itself. Just all the things that happened were so wonderful and new and exciting that we need to really dig deep on it. So the next bit of news, because I'm not letting anyone comment on it until we get to the main discussion. The next bit of news actually has to do with Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them at Carnegie Hall in New York. J.K. Rowling will attend a special screening on Saturday, November 12th, to benefit the Lumos Foundation. They will also have Eddie Redmayne, director David Yates, and additional cast members who have yet to be announced. And the special screening will support the author's nonprofit children's organization. And I'm really sad that I won't be able to go because New York is pretty far from where I am. And also tickets are probably sold out at this point. But
didn't a couple of our hosts get tickets?
Yeah, I think Lizzie.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure Lizzie got.
Yeah, like I'm thinking it as far as Speak BC is concerned, just Lizzie. Yeah. So she will be representing us.
Someone's about to be angry at us.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You didn't announce it on Facebook, so I don't know. If you didn't announce it on Facebook, I have no way of knowing. But this sounds like something really cool.
Yeah.
Something they didn't do for Potter. Like, yeah, she attended the premieres and everything, but this is separate from the premiere. Like, it's about a week before the official premiere.
So, is that a week before the, like, when it's wide released, or a week before, like, the big premiere event?
I don't know when they're doing the like, you know, big premiere event where the whole cast and everything attends. Yeah. But
this would still probably be before that, I would think.
Yeah, maybe, probably, I think.
That's usually just a couple days before something is fully released.
I guess it's kind of cool. We've been harping on Fantastic Beasts for a while about how there's a lot that's going into this that seems just kind of, let's make money. And it's nice to see we're also going to use our powers for good.
Yeah.
That's nice.
That is good. People I know, people who work at MuggleNet who are just like, you know, regular people who get to go to this like awesome event. It's crazy and it's cool. And like, you know, with movie premieres, not everyone gets that opportunity. They tend to be pretty exclusive. So that's why I think this is a cool opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we got a whole chunk of information about Ilvermorny today. And when I say whole chunk, I mean pages upon pages. And surprisingly, the houses have been confirmed to be Wampus, Pugwudgie, Thunderbird, and
Horn Serpent,
thank you. Wampus is usually the one I forget, so I'm surprised I forgot Horn Serpent this time.
So tell us where you were all sorted.
I'm Thunderbird.
I got Horn Serpent.
I got Pugwudgie.
I got Wampus!
Oh my god!
No way!
That's so good.
That is amazing.
That's brilliant.
So wait, what are all of our Hogwarts houses? I'm a Ravenclaw.
I'm a Hufflepuff.
I'm either a Ravenclaw or a Hufflepuff.
And I'm a Gryffindouche.
Yeah.
So it really doesn't match up at all.
No.
Well,
I mean, in a way, but
go for it. Are you gonna say the Eric thing that he posted?
No, I didn't read that.
Oh, it's super good.
Well, I was just saying because Ariel's half like Ravenclaw, half Hufflepuff, that it doesn't like work.
Yeah, when I got Thunderbird, I was pretty confused. I was like, wait a minute, this is not what I expected. It's not like I went in there thinking I'm gonna get a certain one. Like I kind of thought maybe Pugwudgie, but at the same time, like I'll admit, before I had read the whole section, I was like really bitter that those were the names.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I read it and I saw the meaning behind it and everything, I was like, okay, I'm okay with it. Like the way she tied it in and made it all make sense, I was like, it's not, because I don't know, with the whole nomad thing and like the houses just being animal names, I was like, she makes American sound so lazy. But no, the way she was talking about how it essentially is based on the Hogwarts houses and, you know, like children helped pick the names of the houses, I'm like, okay, this makes sense. Like, that's good. And I like how it all tied in, and I'm okay with it. And then when it came time for sorting, I was just trying to answer the questions, and then I was like, Thunderbird, what? Like, yeah, I like adventures and stuff, but I didn't think that was gonna be the one.
Hey, this says Wampus favors warriors.
I am the warrior.
I definitely just downloaded the Wampus desktop wallpaper, so I'm gonna embrace nice. This. But yeah, yeah, I think we'll talk more about this info on the next episode. But any like points anyone wants to talk about?
I would just say people should definitely like look up Eric J. Skull on Twitter. I think it's like Spielerman or something like that. It's his I don't remember what it is. But he posted this really cool overlay thing of the Hogwarts houses versus the Ilvermorny houses, and how if it's a circle, you've got like an X and a Y axis, like of Gryffindor, Hufflepuff, Ravenclaw, Slytherin, and they're like even like that. And then you overlay the American houses with diagonal axes so that they're partially two houses. It's really cool. It's a really interesting idea. So yeah. Go look that up. Also, hi, Eric.
If you even listen to us.
I mean, according to Eric's chart, this doesn't make any sense.
That I'm yeah. Wampus, for me, it doesn't. Whatever. I would be like half Hufflepuff and Gryffindor, and I'm like, well, that changes everything. Ah, but whatever.
It's just different. Yeah. But this is a cool thought process that Eric has here.
Oh, yeah. And Ilvermorny, the school, is very much, even more so than the Sorting Hat, is like choice is very important. Like whatever you choose is kind of law. So
yeah, the fact that you get to choose is really handy.
Yeah.
And that everybody potentially gets to like see you choose as well. That's kind of cool. Like everybody's watching when you do your sorting ceremony. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they mentioned
the wand thing.
Oh yeah, the wand thing. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, that's quite cool as well.
Oh yeah, I think
sorry, they mentioned that the no, it's okay.
Let Sophie talk.
Sorry,
I'm sorry. No, I was gonna, like the house thing. They mentioned in there that the houses represent like the mind, the body, the soul, and
the heart. Yeah,
and like they're different houses represent each one of those things. It's a really interesting deal. Instead of being like, oh, these are, you know, aspects of like Gryffindors are brave and Slytherins are ambitious, and you know, it's not those specific traits. It's like a little bit more abstract. Like that's kind of cool.
Okay, so the outpost this week, we had some comments on our live stream that we did after the featurette was released. Tommy asks, is Newt using the Accio spell on Jacob or the egg? And he disapparates immediately after, but why? I thought to myself that it might be the cocoon of Swooping Devil, so Newt wanted perhaps to protect the bank from harm. And he also says, the glimpse of New York that we see might actually be a wizarding market. I'm not sure I spotted a Hebrew sign on the right side of the frame.
Does he mean the Swooping Evil?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, there's a new one?
Which we talked about, that, and we can go into this more in the main discussion, or we can just talk about it here, that it could be the cocoon of a Swooping Evil, because it's established that they are in cocoons, and Newt obviously throws something that the Swooping Evil pops out of in the trailer. But then again, the egg is hatching.
So are they in a bank?
Yeah, it looks like a bank.
Okay. I suspected, but I didn't know if it was confirmed, but I guess everyone else thinks it's a bank too, so.
Yeah, and we had talked about, is he using Accio? Well, is he using Accio? I guess we can't be sure, because he doesn't say anything. But is he using it on the egg, or on Jacob, or on both?
I just feel like, and how would Jacob be gripping it so hard?
Maybe
that
it's attached to his hand.
That would suck.
Yeah. That's why he's so angry about it.
It's hatching.
Get it off me.
That's horrible. That is like a nightmare.
What do we got next?
We didn't really respond all that much to... That's fine.
Well, we're going to respond more in the main discussion because we're doing, you know, essentially a breakdown of the clip.
Right.
So we got some tweets in here. What do the tweets say?
Oh, yeah. I just thought these were quite nice, good comments. So on Twitter, @ironyak one.
Or would it be iron yak?
Irony yak? Yeah.
No, like iron yak, maybe?
Yeah.
Irony yak.
Like it's a yak. One yak made of iron.
iron yak one says, in reference to the VidCon panel that we did a live stream on, says, Harry and the Potters are there. Can you bring them on stage to do a live cover of 1920s jazzy Beastie theme, please? And I just thought that was a good idea.
Yes.
That would be great.
Can we?
Let me tweet it, that? Harry and the Potters.
Yeah. Hey, we want you to do a thing for us, please.
I, like, met them a few times, so...
Oh, we're now tight. We're name dropping?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I ran into them at an airport. And my sister, it was right after last GeekyCon, and we went up and we were like, you don't happen to have any Slitch witches, do you? And they were like, no.
Oh, Shannon. You really made an impression on them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we talked to them for a few minutes. They're cool guys.
I'm just kidding. That sounds awesome.
Harry and the Potters, do a cover of our theme.
Remember me? I was the person at the airport talking about Snitch Witches. You love me.
We're best friends.
Just do this one thing. Oh, my gosh.
And then there was another tweet in reference to the new Fantastic Beasts book that we talked about in the news from Katie Hale, who says, a new foreword, hopefully this will clear up confusion about Newt's graduation, which is in reference to, I think it says he graduated from Hogwarts or something.
But he was expelled, and there's all this.
That's where I'm worried that it's like, they're going to change that information.
Whole retcon.
But I guess that's one word and it's not that big of a deal. When, like, there's so many mathematical continuity errors. But yeah, new forward will be cool.
But yeah, that's it for the outpost this week.
Yay.
Send us more outpost in the future, guys.
Yes, please.
So for the main discussion... we're going to talk about that new featurette that's pretty much about Newt. And like we said before, we did a couple live shows, one after the VidCon panel that wasn't really at VidCon and didn't reveal anything, and then one, like, right after the featurette was first released, or that afternoon. So we talked about a few things there, so we might reiterate some of that stuff if you listen to that or watch that, but... now we kind of had time to pull together some more information and think about it more. So the featurette was a lot of clips from the trailers that were already released, and then some new clips, and then Eddie Redmayne and J.K. Rowling were kind of talking about Newt throughout it. So, I mean, they didn't really reveal information, but it was kind of cool to hear what they said. Basically, Joe described Newt. As she's kind of said before, he's kind of an outcast. He feels more comfortable with beasts than with humans. So let's see. The first new, like, clip in the trailer is Jacob, Tina, and Newt on their knees in Makusa. I keep wanting to say, like, it's the Wizengamot, but that's in England.
When you said that, I was wanting to say, because I'm an idiot. I was wanting to say, get down on your knees and tell me you love me.
Oh, no, Ariel.
Home Alone! Come on! It's perfect! Come on!
So they're on their knees.
Fine.
And there's some, like, American Aurors behind them, we can tell, because they have these really long leather coats.
Is that, like, the uniform?
Yeah.
Because, what's his name? Graves.
Yeah.
He's an orc. Yeah.
But and his is black, isn't it? Isn't his jacket like blacker? I thought it was black.
It's a darker.
Yeah.
And I remember once the fashion designer, whatever, costume designer, that's what I'm looking for. I mean, it's fashion too. She said something about Tina's coat being long and reminiscent of the Aura coats because she used to be an Aura.
Yeah, I remember that.
So, yeah, why do we think they're here? And do we think this is the same, supposed to be like the same day as the other clip we see Tina enter the briefcase?
I'm not sure because then, I don't know, like I feel like she would have gone in there first and told them, and then, like, maybe a day or so later or something, she comes back with them, with Jacob and Newt, because she only mentioned Newt the first time, saying that, you know, some beasts were released or whatever.
So maybe now they've been brought in after something bad happened.
Yeah, and maybe she, like, got caught up in some of it, and that's why she's having to, you know, they're all three down on their knees because she's in trouble now, too, for something.
And I don't think, we don't see the briefcase anywhere in either of these shots.
Yeah.
So, who knows?
It's kind of odd that they're on their knees in the first place. That's, like, especially degrading for, like, a court situation.
Yeah.
Like, they must be arrested. It looks like their hands are cuffed. They're, real big trouble.
Newt's got his bow tie all undone. It's clearly.
Oh, man.
Now we know.
Serious.
Yeah.
Serious, yeah.
He would never leave the house like that otherwise.
I like how Newt and Tina are looking up at the president. Jacob is like staring off to the side, like, what is happening to me?
Where am I? Again, like, I feel like his whole thought process through the whole movie is like, I just wanted to open my own bakery. I just had a suitcase of pastries. This is not what I signed up for. Like, oh, bless his little heart.
So the next new couple clips, which I realized that we actually had seen like a behind the scenes photo of this moment when Newt is like brushing Tina's hair behind her ear.
Classic.
Yeah.
Classic move to say, I love you.
I've never had that happen before. That makes it sound really sad. Oh, God. I don't have a lot of hair. Okay, sorry.
We talked about in the live stream what exactly is happening here, because it looks like he's standing like in front of a boat, like he's about to leave. So we were like, is it the end of the movie? Or I suggested that maybe like it's partway through and like Makusa is kicking him out because he brought all these beasts. But then he's going to come back, obviously.
I feel like, yeah. I don't know, because I don't feel like they would end the movie that way. I don't know how the movie's going to go, obviously.
And
but
I feel like they wouldn't show us something that close to the end of the movie.
Yeah, it almost feels like, you know, when you watch like cop films and they're like, you're off the case, and they send them away, but then they like come back anyway. Like that's the best way.
Feeling.
Yeah, that's just like the best way I can explain it. Like, he thinks he's having to be sent away, but then he has to come back because, you know, something has happened that only he can really control or whatever. So maybe he thinks that's goodbye with Tina, and so they get that little moment.
Or, you know, he's being sent away, and then he realizes, like, wait, I think I like people. I gotta go back.
I mean, it'd be different if they were, like, sending him away, and he wasn't just, like, people, like, I can't deal with people, they're too much. Like, if he had that realization, if he was being sent away, I think it'd be a little different. Like, they'd be like, no, you can't come back, like, what are you doing? So, it could be either of those situations. Like, he's being sent away, or he's sending himself away. But he comes back for some reason. I'm determined to believe it.
So next, I think there's a couple more clips in here of him doing things with plants that we didn't see before, but not much to say about that. He's doing stuff with plants. He loses his sweater vest.
It did say, when we read about him on Pottermore, that he was... Oh, wait. Or did it? I'm probably thinking of someone else who was also good at herbology.
I don't know.
things we should have remembered. We should remember. Too.
I mean, it looks like he is.
Yeah, and yeah. I think
he's squeezing magic out of plants, like, just straight up.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Just straight up.
Just like, kaboom, have some magic.
From these plants.
From these plants. I just rub them together in my hands, and now, there you go. That's legit what he does. He just like rubs it together, and then like squeezes, like magic comes out. Like, wow, awesome.
It is a very interesting trick.
It's a cool plant. Let's see, J.K. Rowling talks a bit about the case that you can go down into, which we could tell.
Yeah.
It goes down. And then... Oh, the Niffler, because the Niffler made noise.
Oh, it's so cute.
And we're very excited.
Little baby Niffler noise.
Because it's really cute. So there's not really a lot to say about that, but yeah. You know,
yeah. It's there.
It was cute. So then we see, this was pretty, I think, okay, this wasn't quite like the biggest thing in there, but we see Newt in front of this kind of like wooden stage looking thing, and there's like a desert in the background, and I don't know if that's a backdrop or if he's in the desert. But he has a bow truckle.
Mm.
And they've confirmed that it's a bow truckle.
And it's a little jerk, too.
I think it's just kind of sassy. Like, it wasn't... I don't know why he asked the bow truckle to smile for him. Because I feel like that's a strange request from a tree-like plant. But... Or plant animal, excuse me.
Creature.
But, beast. Yeah. And then he kind of... Like, does he... It's like he pouts his lip out or sticks his tongue out or something.
I think
like
he sticks his tongue out, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little sassy move, and I'm like, you're cute. I like you.
So the bow truckle is like all green and kind of has leaves sticking out of its head. So we pulled some passages from Order of the Phoenix, where bow truckles like really appear, to kind of compare the descriptions. And before I read them, I will say that a lot of people have speculated that this is like a baby bow truckle, and that's why it's all green. But it's kind of large for a baby. But let's see what Order of the Phoenix said. Pansy Parkinson gave a shriek of laughter that turned almost at once into a scream as the twigs on the table leapt into the air and revealed themselves to be what looked like tiny pixie-ish creatures made of wood, each with knobbly brown arms and legs, two twig-like fingers at the end of each hand, and a funny, flat, bark-like face in which a pair of beetle-brown eyes glittered. So far, not really anything like that.
Yeah. I mean, like, the twig-like fingers, I can see, because the way...
Mm-hmm.
It does have two fingers at the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it does kind of have a funny face. I don't know if I'd call it flat, and the eyes you definitely can't really see the color of. So, like, the way they're describing this so in detail, it does make me think that this could be a baby bow truckle, because maybe the adults are a little bit bigger that you can see, like, oh, like, these, they definitely have brown eyes, because I can see them way more clearly, and...
It's true.
It could be a baby.
Yeah, it's kind of got, like, brown feet as if it's becoming brown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it, like, just sprouted. And he's just, like, taken it out. Let's see. So also in Order of the Phoenix, we find out, mostly from Hermione, that bow truckles are tree guardians, and they usually live in trees whose wood is of wand quality. And they eat wood lice and... fairy eggs, if they can get them. And Professor Grubbly Plank says, they may not look dangerous, but if angered, they will gouge out human eyes with their fingers, which, as you can see, are very sharp and not at all desirable near the eyeballs.
As most things are that are sharp.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Not very breakable twigs, then.
Well, didn't later on in that story someone... I think it was one of the girls accidentally squeezed one too hard and it, like, slashed. Or maybe it was Harry.
It's not Harry. I think it's Harry.
Yeah.
He's, like, staring at Draco or something.
Yeah, you're right.
He's got, like... he's like, yeah.
And they have to kind of, like, chase after him.
Yeah, and then it, like, runs off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Oh, what's next? Okay, so the next thing is we see Newt, the next new part, we see Newt kind of walking through a crowd like he's looking at something, and then we see Tina with a hot dog as established in our live stream because she's got mustard on her mouth.
I still don't see the mustard.
Well, enhance, Ariel.
I can't. I don't
It's right
know.
There, as plain as mustard can be.
Are you sure? Let me go back. Which...
Yeah.
Where is
there's it? There's mustard on the hot dog in her hand, and there's mustard on her mouth.
Because she looks, at first, pretty fierce.
I see it now. I do see it.
She's looking at Newt with an expression.
I see that mustard. That is interesting that they'd put that in there. Like,
that expression is like you're not getting any of this hot dog.
I wonder if it's going to be like a comedic moment in the movie.
Yeah, because they make it look very serious in the trailer, and then you have the mustard on her lip. So I don't, because like when I first saw this, I was like, man, she hates Newt or something. I don't know. But now looking at it with the mustard on her mouth,
mm-hmm.
like why would it's they funny. Do, like there's no reason to do that unless it is for like a funny moment, because you don't. Because in real life, if you're pissed off at someone and you have, like, something on your face, they're not going to take you seriously. And the face she's giving Newt is just, man, she is side-eyeing so hard.
And I assume that she is looking at Newt and it's not just an editing trick.
Ah, yeah, like, true. Because the way he walks up, like, I think it's the
like
same
Like, it
crowd.
Might not be these clips, one right after the other, but, like, we, you know, that one image that was released... It looks like it's him running up the stairs from this crowd.
Yeah.
It
might be the same like scene, but it is a little bit different. Those clips don't go right into each other because he's walking up looking like he is walking the same and facing the same direction as everybody else. And then the clip where she has mustard on her face is she is facing the same direction looking to her left. Meaning that he would be changing direction and looking toward her, actually a little bit backward toward her, looking at how everybody's
facing. Well, I don't
facing.
Know if he's necessarily looking at her.
She
but
is
like,
definitely looking at him then.
Oh, yeah. Definitely in his clip, like people are also kind of moving forward, and in her clip, everyone's stationary.
Yeah.
But I do think it's the same scene and that she is looking at him. Maybe he said something stupid and she was like, this guy...
I don't even care about the mustard on my face. He just
She's like, I
so
hope
dumb.
I don't run into him again.
Wah, wah, wah.
So the part where they talk.
All about America.
And I should have written out the dialogue. Whatever. She says something about, like, do you know anything about America? And he's like, your backward laws about how wizards can't marry muggles.
Which, okay, hold on. I have issue with that because today we just got information that Ilvermorny was founded by a couple that was,
a
pureblood and a nomad. So you think America would be a little more like, hey, it's not so bad. Like,
I love that about Ilvermorny, that one of the first headmasters was a muggle.
Yeah.
Like, that's so cool.
Yeah, but that's... That kind of puts us in the same, like with Hogwarts. Like, we know that, you know, Hogwarts is good and like Slytherin blah 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 was bad. Like, that's what we were taught through the book. So this is like, okay, now we know that our safe place is going to be Ilvermorny because Ilvermorny was founded on principles that we agree with. And even though the rest of the wizarding world doesn't work like that. So it's like, okay, that's our safe place now.
It's because when we first started talking about like the second Salemers and everything, that was during the time we got the information about, you know, the Salem witch trials and everything in North America. And we were like, okay, so yeah, tensions were high. That must have just been going on for a really long time. Like, witches and wizards couldn't get over that. But like, with the information we were given today, I'm kind of sitting here thinking, like, all wizarding children in North America went to a school where it was founded by a nomad and a witch. So it's kind of, I'm a little confused at this point, especially at the fact that they're bringing up marriage between you know, non-magical and mm-hmm. wizarding community. Like, I was just confused as to why they put that in the trailer in the first place. Like, they could have said anything yeah. about, you know,
because it's the only clip left that doesn't have a beast in it.
Yeah, I guess.
You gotta CGI it in.
But the fact, I don't know, like, why were they talking about marriage? Like, what in the world?
Because they're gonna get married.
I know that, but, like, for people who haven't read Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah, it was weird.
The casual watcher just kind of comes up, because they're gonna assume, probably, that she's, well, no, because she's doing, that was just a confusing clip for me. I don't know why they put it in, other than for, like, Jacob's expression, like, looking at them like they're crazy. So. Which,
what is he doing? He's, like, partway behind a dress. Like, I feel like a beast has gone back there, and he's trying to get it.
Maybe it's the Niffler, and it's got his little coin.
Oh, yeah.
Little coin purse.
That would make sense. The Niffler has.
Because it kind of looks like it goes under something when it.
I feel like it looks like it goes under something in, like, the bank or something, though, because it's a nicer floor.
Yeah, that's true.
But who knows? It could be it stole his change purse, and it still has it.
Yeah.
Or it stole it again. Or it stole something else. It could steal anything.
Yeah. It could steal our hearts.
Oh. Aww. Adorable. Wow.
Was this the first time we heard them speak?
Yeah.
Tina and Jacob. I kind of feel like that's why they put the clip in.
That's true.
Just so we could.
That's a good point.
Obviously I knew, but I forgot they were American.
I know. And they started talking.
Hearing it, I was like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
And then.
That's true.
And then we got a clip of the case kind of like shaking as Jacob backs up against the wall. And I was like, is this the first time he opens it? Mm. And then does that mean this is his room? Because I think this is the same room that we keep seeing images and clips from. Which means he gets the case all the way back to his room and opens it. I don't know. And the next clip is one of the bigger ones.
It's the big one.
Yeah, and so Newt appears to be in a bank. There's no teller. He's just standing there. And he turns around as Jacob is like, hey, English guy, your egg is hatching. And Newt draws his wand very suspiciously. And something I noticed while we were doing the live stream is that in the first shot of Jacob holding the egg, it's very, like, shiny. And then in the second shot of him holding the egg, if you can, like, stop on the frame right when it starts, it looks more cracked and stuff, and Jacob is, like, looking at it with a different expression. So I feel like this scene has been edited, is what I'm saying, and, like, more happens in here as the egg starts to hatch. Maybe Newt even says words.
I'm sure he does, because he doesn't just
pointing his wand and, like, dragging him over.
I'm trying to pause it right at that part that you're talking about.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, it is a different. It's right before he gets all squishy.
And, like, why would that egg be CGI'd in a different way in two different clips? Like,
yeah. All these questions about an egg.
And that's what we brought up, that it could be the Swooping Evil. I think Igor put this in one of our groups. He suggested the Akami, I think is how it would be pronounced, from Fantastic Beasts. And it is a plume two-legged serpentine-bodied creature with wings that may reach up to 15 feet in height. The Akami is extremely aggressive to anyone who approaches it and lives off of rats, birds, and occasionally monkeys. Boots. It is extremely protective of its eggs, which are made of the most pure and soft silver. I made that joke and there was a pause.
I was so busy reading the rest of what the doc said that I just was like, yeah, boots. Like, oh, I'm sorry. My gosh. Because I was sitting there thinking, Jacob is bitten by something.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Maybe this is it? Because it calls it aggressive.
And this is definitely what the
protective
egg looks
of
like.
Its eggs. Yeah, so
pure and soft silver. Could this be the Oculus?
That
you guys talked about?
Is that what it was called?
Was it? Obscurus, that's right.
Obscurus, there we go. Yeah, that's what I was wrong. Like. I was like, I don't know. That doesn't sound familiar. That could, yeah. Because they both start with O.
Yeah, so.
They wouldn't want to, you know, leak any of the information.
So. But yeah, then in this clip, Newt apparently just Accio's Jacob, and they disapparate.
Yeah, which I didn't know that was possible, but that, you know, as we were talking about before, like, does he just have such a strong grip on the egg?
Or maybe he's just, like, Accio-ing his tie.
Oh,
yeah. It could be a situation where it's like, hey, we need to get out of here. And he's like, no, tell me about the thing that I'm holding. Like, no, we need to leave. No, tell me about this thing. All right, fine.
I'll tell you on the way.
Yeah, I think it's probably something like that. And then the last kind of new clips where you see Newt and Tina running through this industrial hallway, and there's like someone in the doorway behind them, but it's hard to see. And then Graves running through a similar hallway, which doesn't really tell us much. But
there's a lot of apparating in the trailers, which I understand that they're trying to say, you know, these are adults, they can apparate, which Harry couldn't apparate until, well, they didn't do that in the movies when they were, you know, practicing apparating that one day at school. But, you know, by the last two films, apparating was a little more commonplace. But now, like, even just watching the trailers for Fantastic Beasts, it's like apparating left and right. Like, Graves, Newt apparates off the building, he apparates with Jacob.
I know, such a dramatic apparating, like, when I saw that shot of him jumping off the building and apparating, it's like, why don't you just apparate where you are?
Yeah.
Like, there's no difference.
He must be running away. Something.
Yeah.
Yeah. This bit where they're running, it looks like, because he's got his bow tie undone and stuff, it looks like it could be like before or after the bit when they're all kneeling. Maybe they've run away or something. I don't know.
Yeah, because Graves seems to be following.
Yeah, yeah, and that's true. In the same clothes.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, because
maybe it's like before.
Maybe they're
or
in
after.
Like a dungeon thing.
What is that whole scene afterwards where it kind of looks like a fancy event?
That's like, that senator guy. What's his name?
Shaw.
Yeah.
And then Queenie comes around the corner. Like, she kind of has this expression on her face.
Yeah,
like,
I'm not sure
like
where
she did something.
Is.
Yeah, I don't know either. But she kind of, I don't know, she seems...
Yeah, she looks suspicious.
Yeah.
And people are getting thrown around.
Yeah.
America, the American flags everywhere, just all the flags.
Burn them.
Whoa, dude.
Whoa. She's
coming in hot.
I'm saying the Beast is going to do that.
Uh-huh.
That is probably a very patriotic beast. You don't know.
Oh, man. Donald Trump's gonna...
It just wanted to swoop in and, like, salute. That's all it...
If Donald...
Just came
oh, God,
in too
I'm not
hot.
Even gonna... Donald Trump doesn't listen to our podcast. I think we're okay.
Now he will.
And he's gonna ban us from the country.
He'll tweet about
us. I don't think that's how that... I don't think that's quite how that works.
He was like,
it was a joke, you idiot. Gosh.
Anything else about this featurette?
When we were asking at the end of the live chat, like, what was our favorite part of the featurette?
Mm-hmm.
I said this then, but I'll say it again. I really appreciated having J.K. Rowling talk about everything and having her right there in, you know, seeing her passion for it. And I also liked, I think underneath her name, it said like writer and producer or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
also
we know who she is.
Like also the lighting on her, she's like legit glowing.
She is. Yeah. She looks angelic.
She's magic.
Yeah. Oh, it's great.
So in the time turn of this week, well, not in it, I haven't done this in so long.
Oh my gosh.
We're going to turn back time with a time turner, and we're going to talk about Quidditch, because I was on, there's probably going to be a new Alohomora, at least by the time this episode comes out, but I was on the last Alohomora episode where we talked about the second half of Quidditch through the ages, and I was inspired. So if you listen to Alohomora, you'll already know some of this information, or if you've read Quidditch through the ages. But I thought it'd be good to just kind of bring it up. So Quidditch was introduced to North America in the 17th century, which would have been about the time that Isolde came and founded Ilvermorny.
Oh.
Is that when she was born in the 1600s?
Yeah. There's a lot of years.
But I thought, didn't she live to be like 100? No, never mind. Yeah. You're fine.
That's right.
Forget it.
So, all right. So this is chapter 8 of Quidditch Through the Ages, where it talks about how Quidditch spread to the rest of the world from England. Early 17th century, Quidditch was slow to take in North America, owing to the great intensity of anti-wizarding feeling unfortunately exported from Europe at the same time. The great caution exercised by wizard settlers, many of whom had hoped to find less prejudice in the New World, tended to restrict the growth of the game in its early days. So I thought that was a really interesting paragraph, because that pretty much goes along with everything we've learned about America.
Yeah.
And then it says Canada has given us 3 of the most accomplished Quidditch teams in the world.
Wow.
So this first one is my favorite Quidditch team name, like, ever, hands down. The Moose Jaw Meteorites.
That is the best.
I want to see those fans. Like, yeah. Fans and stands of the Moose Jaw Meteorites. That sounds great.
And then the Haileybury Hammers and the Stonewall Stormers. Which, just not as good as names as Moose Jaw Meteorites.
Like, how do you top that, though? There's,
I know.
There's just no way.
And then in the United States, there are 2 pretty big teams. The Sweetwater All-Stars from Texas.
Oh my gosh, everyone's the All-Stars. Like, why?
Because they're from Texas.
I know, but still, like, that's such a lazy name. Like, how do you go from Moose Jaw Meteorites to Sweetwater All-Stars? Come on, Texas, you can do better than that.
And then the Fitchburg Finches from Massachusetts, which is interesting because now we know Ilvermorny is in Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah.
So I wonder if, I mean, if they gotta be connected, like,
for, like, field trips, they go see the Fitchburg Finches.
They've won the U.S. League 7 times, and their seeker, Maximus Brankovic III, has captained America at the last 2 World Cups.
He was Captain America?
Yeah.
Yep.
What?
Exactly. He captained America
at the World Cups. I was like, wait a minute. I was like, how did these 2 cross over? Oh, gosh. I'm sorry.
Quidditch is not as popular in America as Quadpot.
I love Quadpot. Yes,
so Quadpot. Quadpot was invented in the 18th century by Abraham Peasgood, who brought a quaffle from the old country and intended to recruit a Quidditch team with just a quaffle, I guess. The story goes that Peasgood's quaffle had inadvertently come into contact with the tip of his wand in his trunk, so that when he finally took it out and began to throw it around in a casual manner, it exploded in his face.
Oh.
And so he was like, he did what any person would do. He went, how do I do that again? And then he made a game that is kind of hot potato, kind of dodgeball. And it's 11 players to a team, and they throw the quad, which is the modified quaffle, from team member to team member, attempting to get it into the pot at the end of the pitch. The pot's usually a cauldron. So you gotta get it in the pot before it explodes. If you are in possession of the quad when it explodes, then you have to leave the pitch. Once it's safely in the pot, which it contains a solution that will prevent it from exploding, luckily, that team is awarded a point, and a new quad is brought onto the pitch.
How does this not hurt people?
I mean, it does, which is why it's so great.
Think about Quidditch, Ariel. People are dying in that all the time.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Just like, I'm so practical. I'm like, why would you do this? It sounds like it could hurt your face.
I just love that J.K. Rowling was like, how could Quidditch be more American? Oh, what if it had legit fireworks? Like, what if the quaffle was a firework?
Exploded. So I hope to see Newt playing a friendly round of quad pot.
Oh, he would never.
How does one play a friendly round of quad pot?
You know that... Do any of you guys watch Doctor Who?
Yeah.
You know when Matt Smith's doctor lives as a human for a week and he plays soccer?
With James Corden?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I just see Newt trying to do that with quad pot. Like, yeah, I'm going to play. And then he's like really clumsy but extraordinarily good. And everyone's like, Tina, your new friend.
We like him. He can play. He can play quad pot.
And she's eating a hot dog and there's mustard on her face and she's like, ugh.
We're turning Fantastic Beasts into like a total rom-com. In a world where two magical people meet just by happenstance.
In a wizarding world.
And Newt's about to find out. Catching beasts is a lot more difficult than it seems.
No, wait. What if it's like, love is more difficult than taming a beast?
Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
It's not the beast he needs to find. It's the love that was there all along.
Oh my gosh.
Cut to Newt running through the airport. She's gonna leave.
Her on a boat.
No, yeah, it'd be the opposite. Yeah. He's going to leave and she has to run through the pier.
But wait, I love you, Newt. And then, like, random snippets.
The boat's pulling away and their hands are touching and he slips away. But then he jumps into the water and he swims to her.
Every night in my dreams, I see.
This
and then that coat weighs him down.
Oh, gosh.
I'm going to be disappointed now. And that's it. It's not this rom-com.
Oh, gosh.
So, anyway, the point is, I hope there's some quad pot or some Quidditch. Then go to a Moose Jaw Meteorites game.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you think they play quad pot at Ilvermorny instead of Quidditch?
I hope so.
Man, all those kids blasted in the face with a quaffle. Like, that. Why would you sign? I'm done. Like, I can't. I'm done talking about it. It's too scary.
Shall we open the Newt case?
Yeah, sure.
That'll be just as scary.
Yeah.
Yep. Yes, it is.
Hey, you misspelled usual, you idiot.
I did?
Yeah, you put us all.
Oh, I was doing it on my phone.
Before we open the case, we got to point out that Aaron is psychic. He's a seer.
No, this legit scares me. I think J.K. Rowling's listening to our podcast and she realizes how big of an idiot I am. And she's like, this guy, Aaron, he's got some great beasts. I'm going to write them all down. Oh my gosh. It's
but
weird.
I think that's really cool to think that, like, our listeners can read the new stuff from J.K. Rowling, and unlike most other people, they're not going to be like, I've never heard of this beast. They can be like, I know what that is. Because I listen to Speak Beastie.
Heck yeah. I know. I was reading through the stuff this morning, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. And in the new stuff, they had the Snallygaster, which we did last week.
Yeah.
Thunderbird, obviously, we did a while ago. She had
the Hide Behind.
The Hide Behind. Yeah. Hide Behind was a big part.
That was super crazy. Scary. When I was reading about that, I was like, oh my gosh. Like, this, I was really excited for
it. And it's
Aaron.
Good to know that, like, she has done her research. I mean, I, like, knew that she did, but she really has.
Yeah. And she also mentioned the Hodag, which I thought we had gone over in this one, but we haven't. I have another document that has all of the creatures that we're going to do in the new case for like a while. And so that's coming up really quickly, but I kind of inadvertently mentioned it. Yeah, because it's in the a lot of the sources that I use.
Yeah.
Have the Hodag in them, and there's one book that I use that has the Hodag in the title. It's the Lakeshore Kearney's, like the Hodag and other tales of the logging camps. So
okay, yeah, because I was like, I remember you saying it because when I was reading the Ilvermorny writings today, I was like, where have I heard the Hodag? And I was pretty sure it was from you.
I love the Hodag. So cool. But we'll get to the Hodag another time. In this week's new case, we have the Dwayo, which is the mortal enemy that we mentioned last week's episode, natural enemy of the Snallygaster.
Ooh, nice.
And there are a ton of resources for the Dwayo. Namely, I used Ghosts and Legends of Frederick County by Timothy L. Cannon and Nancy F. Whitmore, and The Werewolf Book, The Encyclopedia of Shape-Shifting Beings by Brad Steiger. Steiger, whatever. it's a good book. It's a real good book. So the Dwayo came to popularity in 1965, but there's stuff that predates 1965. A lot of stories from the Pennsylvania Dutch in the 18th century talked about a mammalian biped with features similar to a wolf, but the stature of a man. They actually called it the Hexen Wolf. It seems very likely it's the same creature because it's reported in a lot of the same spots, like Frederick and Washington counties in Maryland. So it's probably the same thing. In the 1890s, a farmer reported seeing a dog-like creature 9 feet tall at Camp Greentop near Sebillsville in Maryland. And that's where the first name, the Dwayo, that was the account. And then next, in 1944, the name Dwayo first appeared. The creature was heard unleashing terrible screams by several witnesses. And that's where someone first said, oh, that's a Dwayo. So, I don't know where that came from exactly, but someone said it.
That's what that is.
Obviously it's a Dwayo. But the most popular story was published in 1965 in November. It was published by reporter George May of the Frederick News Post, and he titled a series of articles about the Dwayo. First of all was the mysterious Dwayo on the loose in county. He talks about an anonymous John Becker. It was some other guy, but he kept referring to him as John Becker, who had the encounter.
That was his real name. Like, he was just like...
It's actually John Becker. He's like, no, it's not. It's not John Becker.
It's not me.
It's a different John Becker. But it was the same old, like, oh, what's that noise? Oh, it must be nothing. Wait, no, it's not. It's a werewolf. Like, that kind of stuff.
Oh.
Like, every horror movie, it was just like that. Becker described the creature to the police as, it was as big as a bear, had long black hair, a bushy tail, and growled like a wolf or dog in anger. So that one was a really big sighting, and May post, or he did several articles about it, and he even got a hunting license to get a bunch of people together and go hunt the creature, which was ultimately unsuccessful. But there are so many sightings of this creature. There are a ton. If you look up online, and a lot of them are documented and super creepy.
Wait, this is just in that, like, general area, though?
Yeah, just okay. In that general area in Maryland, Pennsylvania, there are a couple.
It's generally like East Coast specific. Thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Never going there again.
Yeah.
Don't go there.
Add that to my list of places that Aaron has mentioned. Has
scared you away from. there's a really good one. And by good one, terrifying one, from 2009.
Great.
A girl named Aubrey, also a fake name, reported to police that she had an eerie feeling like she was being watched on the outer edge of Gambrill State Park. She was driving and she slowed the car because the feeling was so palpable that it was making her dizzy and she was having trouble driving. So she slows the car to about 25 miles an hour. And she sees this shape following her car along the road through the trees. Like, keep in mind, this thing is moving at about 25 miles an hour to keep up with her. She just sees this shape. So, naturally, she slows down more to get a good look at it.
No, girl, go. Aubrey, come on.
And then this huge dog-like creature on two legs, giant fangs, long claws, the whole deal. It leapt out of the woods at her car, and she had just enough reaction to hit the gas and just go. And she booked it out of there, and she reported all this to the police. There are a couple different tellings of her story, and they're both very, very creepy.
Do you have like a link to that?
I should have one, but I don't have one.
Thanks.
On me right now. I'll send it to you.
One time I
want to
look it up.
I think that that one is mentioned. I think that one of those accounts from, or a transcription of that account, is mentioned in the werewolf book.
Oh, okay.
So if you look up like werewolf book, I think Google has it as like a Google book where you can scroll through the PDF. So it's definitely worth reading. And I mentioned last week that the Dwayo is the natural enemy of the Snallygaster, and all the sources seem to say that, but I tried finding an account of why that is, and there doesn't seem to be anything at all. Some sources just say it's the Dwayo is the natural predator of the Snallygaster. A couple different sources say that the Dwayo hatches from a Snallygaster egg, which is just ridiculous. That makes no sense. Maryland, just come on, get your shiz together. This is ridiculous.
Well, that kind of makes me think of, in a weird way, like the basilisk.
Yeah.
How it lays its eggs in the, has whatever take care of it.
Yeah. Like, it's possible. It's not completely... I don't know. In the magical world, so many things.
That's like, true.
You read it and you're kind of like, well, I guess it could happen. So.
Yeah, that's very true. I don't know. I just wanted to hear like someone actually had a story of, oh, yes. And then the Snallygaster was swooping down to carry people off as it always did. And then this Dwayo leapt up and big fight and. Awesome. I want to watch that, you know, I want to watch that film.
Yeah.
That's Fantastic Beasts 2. Yo.
So that's it for this week's episode. For the podcast question for next week, we would like to ask what you think about the Ilvermorny houses and how they match up with the Hogwarts houses. Do you think, you know, each house is representative of the Hogwarts houses, or maybe there's an overlap? Just whatever your thoughts are, make sure you send them in. And also feel free to send in your fantastic theories, comments, questions, really anything. And thank you so much, Sophie, for joining us today.
A pleasure. It's been fantastic. As always. I don't know how many times I can use that pun before it gets old. But
it'll never get old.
Never get old. If you want to contact us, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at SpeakBeastie, Facebook at facebook.com/SpeakBeastie, Tumblr at SpeakBeastiePodcast.tumblr.com, and don't forget that SpeakBeastie is on Patreon, and for as little as $1 a month you can become a sponsor of SpeakBeastie and help us to bring you more from Newt's fantastic world. You can find out more about our sponsorship rewards and how to become a sponsor at patreon.com/speakbeastie.
I'm Shannon.
I'm Aaron.
I'm Ariel.
And I'm Sophie. Case closed.
'Cause is really long.
It is.
It is.
I'm looking like, are we at the bloopers yet?
I've got to take a bite of this PB&J real quick. But like, something happened to it. You know the Uncrustables? It's like
It's soggy for some reason.
I don't want to eat a soggy PB&J, but I got no other options with me right now.
This is definitely going at the end of this episode.
Yeah. Well, you know, at this point, whatever. Just whatever.